Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. In this podcast, my co-host Mark van Horek and myself, Elias Krum, both from Marketing Guys out of the Netherlands, have an interview with Amir Bormont. Amir is the founder and CEO of a recruitment software company called Elevano, based out of California.
So Amir, you're based out of California, and you run a company there. Could you introduce yourself and your company, Elevano?
Absolutely. Yeah, so I started off as a software engineer and migrated into owning a recruiting company. Interesting little journey there. We focus on creative and technology roles in a lot of the key markets in the States. And our focus really is to bring a different component to the recruiting industry. So the big premise of going into recruiting was we saw a lot of broken pieces and a lot of unhappy candidate and client expectations and failures. So we're just trying to do it different. And hopefully by doing it different and talking about it, we can actually make some micro subtle change to the industry.
Well, that makes me curious. What is it that you do different?
So what's interesting about my background is I come from engineering. I was being recruited. It's actually funny because even now, a decade out of hands-on roles, I still get recruiting companies emailing me for developer roles, and it's a symptom of the problem of the industry. And it's just the candidate experience, the candidate treatment. Third-party recruiting companies obviously make money by placing people, and it's very transactional, short-sighted from their perspective. So I've taken the effort of basically weaving into the fabric culture of Elevano how candidates want to be dealt with. And then obviously as a hiring manager in my day as an engineer, I know what hiring managers need to see, what kind of interaction, the time frame. And a lot of people who go into recruiting, they go into recruiting and don't have a career before that. So they don't know what it's like to work for an organization in an actual doer role, right, in a non-sales or marketing capacity. So I think those are all like big factors of how we are able to have a different experience for our candidates and clients just at a high level.
Wow. So what I kind of assume that the way you recruit technical professionals, let's say coder, people that are coding, developers, must be completely different from the way people recruit sales reps. I assume usually, and it's all assuming stuff because, and we shouldn't do that, but developers are more introverted people compared to salespeople or marketing people. How does that reflect on the way you recruit those guys and girls?
Yeah, actually, that's absolutely true. And what's really interesting about that is salespeople, exactly, they want to engage. They're curious that they might reach out. And engineers, for the most part, you know, are on LinkedIn when they want to be and when mm-hmm. they're looking for roles. Other than that, they might have hundreds of emails in their LinkedIn inbox and never actually bother with them. And a lot of the problem stems from not understanding how to relate what it is they're looking for. And obviously, if you're a recruiter who's never, and what's funny actually is the whole industry in third-party recruiting is based on looking for people, and the people who you're looking for, you've never actually done their job. So you're trying to relate to them at a very high level, and it's a challenge. So I think when it comes to salespeople, obviously recruiters who are recruiting salespeople, they kind of understand that background. In terms of engineers, they have a hard time getting to them because they're not understanding the content and the context in which those engineers or creative people are looking to be engaged with.
So basically what you're saying is that, let's say traditional or more the normal recruitment agencies cannot identify themselves with the candidates or the hiring companies. They cannot stand in their shoes.
Absolutely.
And you can.
Absolutely. Nice. Yeah, that's a big driver of how we train people here. So my focus when we hire anyone is we have a system, a custom training platform we built internally so that I want to get our recruiters as aligned to the audience's thinking, the customer's thinking, so that when they're engaging, there's a frame of reference. obviously they'll never be an engineer, right? They're still recruiters, but I can build a platform training so that they're as closely aligned to the expectation of the people that are reaching out as possible. And that comes because I was an engineer and I did the job. So I have that background.
So for me, I have some experience. Well, Mark and I both have some experience with the traditional recruitment industry, right? So for us, it seems, and that's maybe it's not the engineers that they're focusing on, but mainly financial people or commercial people like sales or marketing people. To me, the job or the daily schedule of a typical recruiter, for me, seems like sending out hundreds of emails through LinkedIn, trying to engage. Maybe they have like a conversion rate of, let's say, 1 on 200 emails of people that respond. And there's a lot of quantity involved. So
instead
a lot of
quality.
Lots of instead of quality, I would say. Is that also your experience, or is that something I'm only seeing here?
No, that's you know what, that's actually typical of the way the industry is run. So for us, our main focus is hyper-focused, personalized content to people. So we don't mass mail anyone. As a company, if we reach out via email or in-mail, it's a single email that's coming to you from us.
Wow.
We're not clicking 500 people and seeing who sticks. The staff is trained to understand how to identify the right target. Our response rates, when it comes to candidate response rates to us, we actually have open rates that are well into the 60-70% range.
Wow.
And then our response rates to our campaigns in general are between 20-45% a reply rate back to us.
Wow.
So we
That's
don't
impressive.
Have to focus. Absolutely. And we don't have to send 500 messages to have the conversations. We can send 30 messages for a role. And we know based on our metrics, we'll talk to 5-6 people. And our engagement is so high that we can come back to that candidate because they see the value in wanting to work with us.
Can you, if I listen to you, the thing that pops up in my mind is that you're not just like merely a matching platform, but could be more like a community platform, because I hear that there is a high engagement, because with such kind of figures, there has to be a very high level of engagement between the candidates and with your platform or with the hiring companies. Do these candidates actually consider you as a recruitment organization, or do they consider you as something else?
You know, obviously we're a recruiting company. They see us as a recruiting company, but they also see us as a different way that we're implementing recruitment. So we do get higher engagement. We get to go back to the same candidate pool and talk to them multiple times. When we bring them an offer, they're very receptive to hearing our, you know, open roles. We've built a secret community on Facebook where we are engaging with our candidates. It's unsearchable. We don't publicize it, but it's a part of our strategy because it allows us to capitalize on the no's. So we are trying to engage. I mean, there's no AI built behind us, right? It's human AI, but but we are very focused on maintaining engagement once we get a hold of someone, because the cost of getting a hold of that person again is just too high. It's a waste of time to have to go through the same hoops again.
So this all seems very impressive to me, and you must reach out to a lot of people, though your engagement rates seem to be very high. There must be some kind of, let's say, marketing technology behind this, right? Because we talk a lot about the candidate journey. You reach out to people, they're like, let's say in normal in B2B sales, you would have like a buying cycle, but here it would be, let's say, a candidate cycle, because people are not always willing to move jobs right away. They might think about it. It takes them half a year, 2 years until they really make that choice, possibly. How do you use marketing technology in managing that candidate journey?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a big believer. So I have an engineering background. So I'm always looking for a piece of technology to automate. So we use an email drip campaign by the name of reply.io. Our applicant tracking system, I actually worked with engineers to build automation to streamline our interaction with that reply.io platform through the APIs that has available to us. So part of my goal with that was that I wanted my team not to be focused on mundane notes and updates. So we've built a system in the background, our automation, that allows for our employees at Elevano to do less work in driving that engagement. Obviously, they do more work on and spending time on finding the right people. So we're taking the time that a lot of other companies are spending on some of the mundane overhead tasks, and we've moved that into actual high value identification activities, engagement activities. So that to us is a big catalyst of why we're very effective in spending more time looking and versus clicking 500 people and just seeing who sticks.
Yeah, so you're using technology to become more human.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the stuff that I actually started it because I didn't want to write notes anymore. So part of it as an engineer, you know, engineers like to automate stuff. And I was, you know, a little bit lazy about writing my notes. And my business partner was like, you know, no exceptions. And I was like, you're right. And I said, how do I fix this so that I stop writing all these notes for every piece of contact that we send out? And I figured out a way to automate integration from Reply and Gmail back into our applicant tracking system. So it's pretty complicated what happens behind the scenes. And I think that's most other recruiting agencies that don't have someone with an engineering background probably would have a struggle figuring that out. But I'm sure people can hire people to figure this stuff out.
Okay. And are you also using that content then, that the knowledge you create about, well, basically you're looking to profile all the people to be relevant in communications, either by phone or by email, I guess. Are you also using that info to deliver them with basically dynamic content or liquid content or whatever you want to call it? So are you using dynamic content in your emails or on your website?
So that's the next phase for us. So we have been fairly reliant on email as a main driver. And we recently made a couple of decisions internally about our marketing positioning. One is we stopped spending any money on job board advertisements. So we spend zero as a company on any pay-per-click avenues. Mm-hmm. We've decided that we want to generate more content, engaging content. And I'm not talking about top five interview tips. That's funny and all good, but you know, any professional doesn't need top five interview technique, you know, type of blog articles. The reality is, so we're trying to go down the path of engaging content, meaningful engagement, humanize us as a company and the value that we can provide, talk about our metrics, talk about what the experience is, and use that as the content to establish a better, you know, community engagement. And I think a lot of clients don't realize that, you know, single digit response rates are very typical versus what we get. So sure. we're trying to educate most of the market with, hey, this is a different way of doing business.
Nice. So to me, it almost seems, when I'm thinking about the target audience you have, engineering people or engineers or programming people or coding people whatsoever, unlike sales or marketing or communications people that go out, look for jobs, look for the next increase in salary, etc., which they hunt for on LinkedIn or whatsoever, or any job board. It almost seems like your target audience needs you to be like a broker, like I would say football players or professional sports people have, like someone that manages their career for them. Would that be something would that be a role that you could play at your company for them?
So I'd say this. So we work with a lot of creative professionals and, you know, and engineers. And I'd say our approach to that question is we try to be everyone's guide. So we don't view it as an additional service layer. We view that as the core of our job. So By that, I mean, if a candidate has two opportunities and our opportunity is clearly the weaker opportunity or maybe not as ideal for what that person wants, we will advise them that they should potentially move away from our opportunity, even though that might come at the detriment of not, you know, trying to force them into a close. But I think the long term of them viewing us as a trusted guide in their potential career path down the road, that's a lot more value than just saying, I just want that one close. And I feel like I, you know, made my commission off of that one guy, regardless if that was the right thing for that candidate.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly what I was also thinking about. It's the trust element. Otherwise, absolutely, you cannot, never can get double-digit engagement figures. You will only get that if the candidate considers you to be one of them, that you are the place to go when they have issues regarding recruitment. So it's not a short-term goal, but it's really being in there for the long term. And I think that's the heart of the difference between the other kind of recruitment and that what you're doing.
Yeah, and some of it is, you know, the owners of the other recruitment companies. So most recruiting companies are not enterprise, you know, 1,000 people companies. They're smaller companies, and even the bigger companies. It's a lot of it's because the metrics that are being used are all based on revenue, which, yes, I'm looking at revenue too. I run a for-profit business.
Sure. Yeah.
But if you're only pushing closes and sales and somebody has to, you know, hard sell someone to take a job, then the problem is you might get that close, but the long-term effect of that is very detrimental. And I'd actually point out that something really interesting about us is just starting in September of last year, we made a push to start capturing Google reviews. And we really hadn't done a very good job, to be honest with you. We were missing that social proof piece. And I was like, why have we not? But in the 4 months of last year, we managed to rack up 100 or so reviews on Google, a couple on other platforms, Facebook, Trustpilot. And those are not candidates that we placed. Those are all not placements. Those are candidates that saw the value in working with us, saw the value in our way of doing business, that were able to say something nice about us on Google. So I believe that part of the philosophy of Elevano is every engagement should be at such a quality level that if you don't place somebody, they should still be willing to leave you a review because of the work you've done.
Yeah, and how I can listening to this, you are really putting the candidate first, and they feel that way. You're human on that part, but you are setting them first. Like what we always say with our marketing, the customer comes first, and you customer centric. But a lot of companies say that, but not really doing that. And you are obviously are setting the candidates central.
Absolutely, and so I think that candidate centric is talked about everywhere. Like HR people internally talk about it, third party recruiters talk about it. But when it comes down to it, on both internal corporate and third party, the close is almost too important sometimes to do the right thing. And I think that's where the industry's gotten a bad reputation, especially agency recruitment. That reputation is not very good, to be honest with you.
No, one thing that intrigued me, because like a couple of minutes ago, you were saying you're not spending a dime on pay-per-click, and you are running a for-profit business. You are making money. I would say every recruitment firm I know is depending on pay-per-click. They're depending on these paid LinkedIn accounts. They're on Monster. They're on Indeed. Whatsoever. They're basically living on rented land, right? As we say it. Don't build your house on rented land. That's what a lot of people do in recruiting. So that must have been were you running pay-per-click ads in the past, or have you never done that?
No, we did. We actually
must have been a choice.
Yeah, it was a big choice. So I think for a couple of years, obviously, we kind of we were, again, because I don't come from the recruiting industry, I've always been cognizant of try not to reinvent, you know, see what others are doing. And it really doesn't work for me, but I was trying to understand the industry really well before, you know, wanting to do anything drastic. So we spent years going with the existing model. And then some point, I think about 2 years ago, 18 months ago, we started cutting our marketing spend on those pay-per-click avenues, you know, whether it's Glassdoor, LinkedIn, Indeed, we started cutting them. And we started analyzing how we're engaging with candidates, where our engagement's coming. And we saw, I think some point early last year, we saw the trend was passive candidates and the ROI. And I used to work for a marketing company that did direct infomercials. So they always mm-hmm. talked about, you know, what's the ratio of, you know, spend on, you know, TV ads, this is years ago, and what's the return in terms of revenue. So I started looking at that, and I was really looking at the fact that we're not doing as well as I thought we should. I didn't want a 2 to 3 to 1 multiple. I want 10, 15, 20 to 1. Sure. So we started cutting all our spend, and at some point early last year, we were at zero, and we saw no monetary difference, and we were saving money, and we were using that money in terms of being able to hire an internal copywriter, working with more SEO services to get our content ranked on YouTube, on LinkedIn, on our own site. So, and I think we're still just scratching the surface of what we're going to do with our marketing plans.
Yeah, so basically you shifted from spending money on ads and creating relevant content that was really interesting, really helpful for the candidates, and therefore you improved the engagement, because that's it. You shifted from the short notice and short term activities to the long term activities, and that
still I'm trying to put myself in Amir's shoes, because you know, it's like I'm a business owner myself, you know, and I have those dashboards in front of me. You must have those dashboards. You need leads for your reps. You need marketing qualified leads, or you need people to place, right? So all of a sudden you decide, or maybe not all of a sudden, but it's somehow you have decided not to put any money on red anymore, to say it in a casino style. So you put your money on black, right? So in your dashboard, you don't see those people coming in anymore. There is a channel going away. So what's your main channel at the moment, your main online channel? Are they all coming through email, or are they all organically found? Or how do you do that? Because that's, I think our listeners are very, very keen to hear how they can get less dependent on ads. You know, everybody wants to know how that works.
So I'd say obviously email is still a big component, but we do post a fair amount on LinkedIn. The staff also posts, and I think through Instagram, we've been direct messaging people and engaging on direct message on Instagram, Twitter, direct messaging on Twitter. I think what's changed in the philosophy is that everyone has a mobile phone, and whatever avenue you pick, there's an alert that shows up on your phone. So once you understand that as a clear marketing power, then it's your job to go engage, not just via the phone in terms of the cold call or just the pure email. There's other avenues. And if you have any content that's relevant and you're watching who's engaging with it, or you're watching who might be reaching out to you based on the piece of content, and it's a longer tail, you're not going to start getting content. You're not going to reach out on DM and have people respond as quickly as an inbound. So you are right. Part of it is you do have to recognize that it is a shift. You're doing a lot more farming. You're not just hunting for immediate. And the problem is that everyone in recruiting knows that roles are open for a finite period of time, and it's a speed to deliver. Yep. The problem with that is that means you need to go hunt immediately. And unless you have a community built where you can reach back out to those same people repeatedly and you've done a good job, that makes it very difficult to be able to have that farming mentality. So I think some of it is a shift in the way you view the business, and moving away from just-in-time candidates, and moving away from I focus purely on speed of delivery those all then let you view the business differently. Yeah, because once we didn't have inbound candidates, it was a little bit of a challenge. I had staff ask me, so, you know, what about these extra couple of candidates that came in? I go, let's go find them. Let's go engage with them. Let's get them to be a fan of Elevano the way we do business. So the next time we call them or email them or message them, they know. We rely on text messaging a lot with candidates that we work with because they go, hey, these guys, this guy Amir, he texts me again. Yeah, I like him. I'm going to engage with him. So those are all the drivers of why we could move away from pay-per-click.
Okay. So that's very interesting. So I think we need to wrap up a little. I think I've heard a lot of interesting stuff from you, Amir. And I think this is very worthwhile for our listeners as well. So if our listeners, should they want to know more, connect to you, what's the best way for them to connect? Because you have multiple social networks that you have mentioned. What's the best way for people to connect to you?
Yeah, I mean, Twitter. I'm Amir Borman on Twitter. On LinkedIn, Amir Borman, aborman@elevano.com. My company email address. Any of those avenues. I'm a big fan. I'm trying to. The reason I was actually worried about podcasts and giving away secrets of the way we do business, to be honest with you. And the more I thought about it, I realized that if anyone wants to emulate what we're doing, then that means it validates the approach we've taken. And if it improves the industry as a whole, that means that we were part of, you know, whatever movement there was to help with that initiative. So I'm all for helping whoever I can to you know, again, not live on, build a house on rented land, as you put it. I'm going to use that, by the way. I liked it.
Yeah. Well, you're a leader, man. So, yeah. So it's like people want to follow you. Be proud on that.
I've got a question, Amir. You're in the States, and now we've got people listening from Holland, and they say, whoa, that's interesting. Do you also do international? Do you, or are you just purely up for America with candidates?
So we are focused on the States, but the other business that I am looking to spin up, is an actual recruitment marketing company. So I think one thing that we see is an opportunity in the market for us to actually partner with other agencies, partner with, you know, internal corporate recruiters, and help them establish what we've been able to do, and help them deliver the content, help them deliver different paths of generating candidates. So that's, I guess there's a couple of things we're trying to do. That is one of them. So if there's somebody in Europe that thinks we're doing something novel and they need help, obviously we'd love to help just from an altruistic perspective. But also we see that as a whole separate business line for us because it is very novel, the approach we've taken.
We'll put all that info in the show notes. Amir, thank you very much again.
Yes, very interesting.
Absolutely, guys.
Happy to speak to you, and I've learned a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your time. I really like talking to both of you. Thank you, and hopefully, people in Holland will appreciate our techniques in the U.S. and we'll love to engage in any way we can.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to our iTunes channel. Also, if you want to be interviewed on this podcast, or if you have any questions on marketing technology, send me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you.